Morning, church. Wow, I've been thinking about what to share as a final message with you as a pastor. You know, this family of people that we've come to love and a community that we've come to love, began to realize that today's message is no more important or no less important than some random message on some random Sunday in some random summer, in some random year, in some random town, in some random country. Because the message is always the same, isn't it? The message is always the same. And I really didn't have a title for this morning. And then I thought, well, there's some people that like a message title. And so I just decided to call it Not Reflections. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Why did I call it Not Reflections? You know, there can be a time for reflecting, and that's all good. In fact, this morning we were drinking our coffee, sitting there in our whatever we sit in the morning, and all of a sudden we kind of started filling our coffee cups back up with tears. But today's not about reflecting on the past. Today's about the present. Today's about the future, because we live in the present and we're going to live in the future. And so that's our focus this morning. Anyway, so one of my favorite things to do, actually one of the necessary things for me to do, is especially the last 3 or 4 years, is walk the hill behind our house. You guys don't know this, but you've probably been impacted more by anything I do by what happens on that hill than what happens sitting in the office. Just spending time with the Lord up there. I mean, the glory barn's just kind of on up around the corner. We could probably call this the glory hill or something. But this is behind our house, looking out over Canton. Man, I might do this a lot today, so forgive me. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But there's just things popping into my mind while I'm talking. And one of the things that happened on that hill was I was walking down over the hill one day, and it was just before Mother's Day, and I had no idea what to preach about. I'm like, God, what do you want me to share this week? And he just brought to me, for whatever reason, on Mother's Day, about the Israelites coming out of across the Red Sea and then the song of Moses and all of that. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, but like, we went for it. And I don't know if some of you remember, there was a bunch of dancing ladies up here. And that was Becky's first Sunday here. And she just, like, whatever happened that Sunday was for her. And it's just been, so it's just those kind of things that, just encourage us to keep listening to the Lord. But anyway, you can see a little fog over Canton there, and here's another one. But often in the mornings when I'd walk that hill, there would be this cloud of fog just filling the valley. And I would just start proclaiming to the Lord, like, glory, God, never leave your glory, leave this place. God, just fill this town and this community in Troy and Bradford County with your glory. And I don't know how it first came here. Like, was it Methodist circuit riders back in the day that just kind of came through these hills? Or I don't know. And there's a lot of people that have moved here, you know, Flatlanders, for those of you who have been here for a long time. And yeah, we're a little bit flat, but. And this is not a word from the Lord, but it is, as Karen and I have got to know this community and the people, and I've just had this growing sense that it's just time for the homegrown sons, the people who have been raised here, to be the pastors and the elders in this town. For God to take the church to the next level, you know, it's time for those of us who've been moving in to just get out of the way and let the homegrown sons be the pastors and the elders. And it's starting to happen, not just in this church, but in other churches in the area. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So, the glory, the presence of the Lord is a real thing. And people, the church, who've been redeemed, who've been set free from sin and from darkness and selfishness by the Spirit of Jesus being poured out on those who have faith in the Son of God. Become that living presence. We sang that this morning. Redeem people who trust in Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, become that living presence of the Spirit and the glory of God wherever they're at. I just was trying to gently nudge our children in that. So as a Spirit-filled church who responds in love and obedience to the Lord, as we live and we work and we play and we have children, we raise families and we worship and we go to school. We have coffee with friends and we rejoice with those who rejoice and we mourn with those who mourn and help those in need. And we do that all in the name of Jesus. Then Jesus' kingdom on earth is built and expands and grows and has influence. And the church becomes that living presence of the glory and the love of God right here, right now, in this community. And God is faithful in building His kingdom. He has done great things in and through His people in the past, and we find comfort in God's faithfulness. But this is the present, and tomorrow is the future, and we are living in those realities. Because God's mercies are new each morning. And His plans and His purposes for His glory and love through the church, through the redeemed, is to continue filling the earth with His presence. You know, one of the saddest pictures to me in the Old Testament, maybe in all of Scripture, is in Ezekiel 10. And the prophet Isaiah is describing when the glory of the Lord, the cloud of the glory of the Lord, began to lift off of the temple. And the prophet Ezekiel says the people had gotten selfish, and they'd gotten arrogant, and they weren't concerned about the poor and the needy. And the sad thing was, is where the temple was the place where God's people gathered to be in the presence, to be in the midst of God's presence. And God began to remove His glory from the presence of His people. Isn't that sad? It's terrible. And now in the new covenant, as the Apostle Paul declares to the church in Corinth, people sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, those people, us people, in the new covenant are now the temple in which the Spirit of God resides, where the Spirit of God lives. And brothers and sisters, I just pray that that glory, that presence of the Lord will always continue to be present in Canton, in surrounding towns and hillsides as the years and ages roll on. Why? Because that will be an indication that there are redeemed and sanctified and restored image bearers filled with the Spirit of God doing life in these hills. People who love Jesus and people who love people being and building the kingdom of God and filling the entire community with the love and the glory of God. Church, can you dare to imagine that in increasing measure? Can you imagine an increasing measure of God's presence and glory in this community rather than always thinking about a decreasing measure of God's glory and presence in the community? It's going to take us living as redeemed, sanctified, Spirit-filled people. Does that encourage you? Thank you. That you as redeemed people, Spirit-filled people who are attempting to walk by faith and not by sight, submitted to the Spirit of Jesus, and you are essential and active participants in building kingdom right here on the earth as it is in heaven. There's a couple of verses in Psalms that have always just grabbed me. One's in Psalm 22. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn, for He has done it. The reason that those who are not even yet born can know about the Lord is because the Lord's already taken care of it. He says the same thing in Psalm 102. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. In other words, people who haven't even been reborn yet, or born for the first time, or born of the Spirit. Because the Lord looked down from a sanctuary on high, from heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and release those condemned to death, so that the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the summer of June of 2015, I think it was, about right where Tammy's sitting. Some of you remember Mel and Edna Shetler were here that summer for a couple days, and Mel preached on a Sunday morning. So there was, it wasn't 15, whatever it was. Anyway, it was. So about right where Tammy's sitting, there was no roof on here. The floor was concreted. It's a nice, sunny afternoon. And Mel wanted to come up and see where we were building this church. I remember him walking about right there where Tammy's sitting, and Mel didn't say much. He just looked around and he said, "I hear the voices of the future. I hear the voices of the future." If we could hold on to that picture, church, I hear the voices of the future of a people who are not yet a people, who have not yet been reborn, recreated in Christ Jesus to do the things that God prepared in advance to do for them to do, which is to fill the whole earth with the glory and love of God. How do we know that? Because it says the Lord looked down from a sanctuary on high from heaven. He viewed the earth and he heard the groans of the prisoners and released those condemned to death. You know what? Some of you since 2015, you've already been those voices of the future. Gene and Amy, Lois, you've been those voices of the future that God has looked down from heaven, said, "I'm going to release them." Well, how does the glory and the presence of God remain a reality in our communities and the kingdom even expand to yet a unborn people? People not yet a people. Well, the answer is really simple, and yet it's really profound. Stay committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay committed to the good news of Jesus Christ. Ministering Jesus is everything. Ministering Jesus to our congregation and our community and our world is everything. You know, we spent how many months in the fall going through the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews just shouts to the church, "Do you know what you have in Jesus? Do you know what you have in Jesus?" I'm not going to go back and re-preach the book of Hebrews. Well, Paul reminds us, kind of our key text today. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you've received, on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." And we got to just read that like five times. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. You're redeemed. You've been set free from that prison. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I receive, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." The words of the old hymn still ring true. "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. The sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Church, are you staying in the fountain? Well, I'd like to just real briefly run through this verse by verse. I remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. Church, the gospel must be proclaimed. It must be preached. It must be talked about. You know, we often hear the saying, more is caught than is taught. I just want to tell us something this morning. Behaviors can be caught. Behaviors can be caught. But having an understanding of Jesus and who he is, that he was fully God and fully human and came to earth and died and rose again, that can't be caught. You can't catch the gospel. You got to talk about it. You got to preach it. Good behaviors are just that. They're good. But good behaviors don't redeem us from our selfishness and our rebellion towards God. And Paul is clear, we must receive, we must believe, trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that requires proclaiming the truth. Behaviors, good fruit, are a result of ongoing sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in those who have believed and received and trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We can't catch the gospel. We need to talk about it. We need to preach it and proclaim it. Paul warns numerous times about getting caught up in other gospels, in other good news. Is there any other good news? He warns in 2 Timothy 2 about people who are arguing over words because it brings ruin, and avoiding godless chatter, and because all that kind of stuff just spreads like gangrene, it says. Stay focused on the gospel. Stick to proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said it could and would happen. But church, can you imagine 20 years from now, a different gospel being preached right here other than Jesus? Well, if we don't keep proclaiming Jesus, that's what will happen. Keep proclaiming the gospel. After the proclaiming of the gospel must be received. It must be believed. Great church, we're saved. Our guilty stains are removed by what we believe in, not by what we don't believe in. Think about that. We are saved by what we believe in, not by what we don't believe in. And we can be against and appalled by all kinds of things in this life, but we are saved by what we believe in. Amen? That's what we take our stand on as a church. Now, what does taking a stand look like practically speaking? What do you take a stand on your life? Well, over these past years as a pastor, I've sat with quite a few of our church family and other people during the final days of their lives. Even recently, there's been quite a few of us who are kind of walking on the edges of the valley of the shadow of death. What gives people freedom and peace in that valley? You know, never once, and I hope I never do, have tried to convince someone that they are safe to go through that valley because of what they don't believe in or what they're against. It's always Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. You're safe in Jesus. What are you taking your life stand on? What are you going to take your stand on when you walk through that valley of the shadow of death? It's what you believe in, church. It's what you believe in. Paul goes on, by this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise, you have believed in vain. Hold firmly to the gospel. Keep holding on to the gospel. And it kind of brings in this whole thing of sanctification and you know, we're saved and we're continually saved by the same way we were saved. It's through the Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 gives us a glimpse of that. Paul says, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, but because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Amen? Church, the glory, the presence of the Lord is going to remain over and active in Canton and surrounding communities. It's going to require that you, the church, remain in the gospel, submitted to the Spirit of Almighty Jesus and God, King of kings and Lord of lords. Just to drive that home, Paul says this in Galatians 5. He says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. I mean, that includes a lot of things. Most of them hurt and downgrade other people. And they go against God. Impurity and debauchery, idolatry, idols, self, witchcraft, hatred, discord, sowing discord, jealousy. Man, I want your gift. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, causing dissension and factions and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What's that mean? It means we're not going to enjoy the freedom and the peace that comes from living submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means right now, not just in the future. All of us at some point and some time have operated in those things. And we know from experience there is no freedom and peace and joy when we're operating in a sinful nature. Right? Right. So, what's Paul say? Keep living by the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against those things there's no law. Those who belong to who? Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Paul goes on, for what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Church, all I can say with that is keep relying on Emmanuel's fountain, that blood of Jesus, for cleansing from those guilty stains. You know, and if you're like me, there's a little sin nature that's still active. And if you know it, and if it is, you do, I just want to say keep relying on the gospel. Keep bringing those things and throwing them under the flood, the blood of Jesus. Keep relying on the gospel. Don't stop trusting in the gospel. That's where the peace and the freedom to begin to live with joy and hope and dance in a sound booth, Lois, and not pay attention to what you're doing. You will all continue to fill this community with the glory and the presence and the love of God as you remain in the gospel submitted to his Spirit. Eric, whether it's serving on the school board, Randy driving bus and keeping track of them 30 bus drivers, Yana teaching school, Edna cleaning the church. You all like a clean bathroom, don't you? Nick doing whatever Nick does. Working on the farm. Being an electrician at night, some big nameless company where you're just a number. Buying veneer logs so that people can have the things they enjoy. Mike fixing cars. Doesn't take me long when mine isn't working to call Mike. All those things, church. Oh, nurses, we got nurses here. But all of those things, as Spirit-filled people walking by faith and not by sight, submitting to the Spirit of God, you are the presence of Almighty God here in this town. If you stay in the gospel. If you stay in the gospel. So keep doing it. Keep doing it. I was just talking to Jerry Vinoy this morning about all these young guys that we've got scattered and young ladies around the world. I mean, I think sometimes we forget about that. We're just here doing our thing, but we have sent so many people. I trust we continue to do that. Karen and I have asked you to send us here next Sunday. Our heart's desire is to stay firmly committed to the gospel, submitted to the Spirit, and it's not easy. What's that going to look like for us? Well, a little bit of it is hopefully be available to spend a little more time with our family, and yet that's kind of already getting dumped upside down, it feels like. Because there's just a lot of hurting people and hurting churches and people that want somebody to come alongside of them. It's kind of looking like we might spend a month in Arizona. That's a long way away. But we've got to stay submitted to the Spirit and walk by faith and not by sight. I was telling somebody a couple weeks ago, one of the things we're going to miss the most is just personally watching at different times, different people in the middle of their stories being released from prison, beginning to find joy and hope, live in freedom. That's such a joy. Just to watch God work in someone's life as you begin to let go and trust. But I guess as a replacement to that, we're starting to have opportunities to do that with entire churches. I don't know if you remember last summer, I gave a message from Psalm 126 about sowing in tears and reaping in joy. I don't know if you remember that. Just talked about this little church we were interacting with. I mean, they didn't know if they were going to be there a month from now. And just kind of watching them, like, whatever little bit of gospel we got left, we're going to sow it. But the Spirit of God began to move and release prisoners. And this little church, I mean, I think you know what I mean by this expression. These are little Mennonite people, and mostly old. And they've been sowing what little bit of gospel they had left in tears. And there's starting to be a harvest happen. So those are the kinds of things on a bigger picture that Karen and I have got to be a part of in some small way. So there's much that we don't know, and that all of us, for that matter, don't know about what the future holds. But one thing we do know is we remain committed to the gospel, holding firmly on to who Jesus is and continually turning to the Lord, that He will faithfully transform us into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. And what more could any of us live for? What more could any of us live for? I just want to give an invitation this morning. Maybe you're in that prison yet. You haven't been released. You'd like to be released from that prison. The invitation from Jesus is just come. Come and receive what I've already accomplished on the cross. Trust me. Trust me. Maybe you're just in angst over the future. You believed in Jesus for a long time and you're trying to hold on, but you're just in angst about the future. Maybe it's the future of the church. Maybe it's something in your family, job, and you just want to come and say, I'm just ready to walk by faith and not by sight. Just come on up, and one of the elders would love to pray for you, or just come and kneel at the cross, whatever you want to do, but let's worship the Lord together.